We prefer to view God as compassionate and merciful, and those virtues are true. But Scripture reveals another side of God's character that makes many of us uneasy. God is also just and fair, and when we live outside the boundaries, He often chooses to discipline those He loves. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a 5-part mini-series called God Knows What He's About. In this final lesson, we'll turn to Acts chapter 9, where we see God using pain and suffering to shape His servant, Saul. Chuck titled today's message, God Humbles a Proud Heart.
Saul was a terrorist of the worst kind. And how proud and how arrogant he was carrying out this mission of misery until Acts chapter 9 records he's on his way to the ancient city of Damascus. Look with me at how God humbles this arrogant man. Saul went to the high priest, requested letters to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus, he has in his hands the papers he needs, the official documents, search warrants, if you will, that got him into wherever he wished to go, where there were Christians, so that he might lock them up, hopefully be there for the trial when they were put to death, until he was stopped in his tracks. And God began to crush him. We read in Acts chapter 9, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone all around him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice. He hears the word Saul, Saul. So whoever this is knows him. And does he ever? And then he asks, why are you persecuting me? Saul has no idea who the one speaking is. So he says, sir, who are you? The word Lord appears, but it's not his conversion here. That would come later. Here, it's like a word of respect. Sir, kurios. Who are you, sir? Who are you? You know me. I don't know you. Who are you? Can you imagine the shock when he heard the words, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting? The hounds of heaven found him. And they now have him encircled. And the Lord is conversing with him, clarifying that it no longer is up to Saul what happens in his life. God is in charge. The men around Saul hear the sound of someone's voice, but they see him on the ground, but they don't know what this is all about either. He'll never go into that city with his eyesight or in his own strength. He's told, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Strange words to come to the ears of Saul. No one told him what to do until now. But the crushing has begun. The men who stood by Saul were speechless. They heard the sound of someone's voice, but no one could be seen. Saul picked himself up off the ground When he opened his eyes, he was blind. The crushing is continuing. He's now not only beginning to be humiliated, he is helpless. He's helpless. Perfect condition for an arrogant man. Saul is now being humiliated, confronted by Jesus, blinded for days, and has to be led by the hand into Damascus, according to the end of verse 8. Look at that. That isn't cruel. That's the work of a wise father who knows now is the time to break the arrogance. Now is my chosen moment, and I know what I'm going to be doing. In fact, it's interesting. The Lord then appears to a man named Ananias. He's a follower of Jesus. He calls his name, and Ananias knows him. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, he replied, and the Lord said, go over to Straight Street in the house of Judas. When you will get there, you will ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. The name itself must have put a chill up the back of Ananias. Saul of Tarsus was a household name. His notoriety was known all over that area. And God is telling him, you're going to encounter this man you've heard about. But he's praying to me right now. He says, I've shown him a vision. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. So in a sense, he's expecting you. And through you, Ananias, we will tell him what I have for him. You see, Saul's out of control. He's alone. He's blind. He's not taking nourishment. And Ananias is not too excited about going to see a terrorist. And nor would I, nor would you. And so Ananias begins with our favorite word when we don't want to do it. But now imagine yourself in Ananias' sandals as your knees are knocking, knowing you're about to meet up with the most notorious terrorist of Christians that was on the loose. And the Lord says, go to him. Ananias says, but Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. He's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. I call on your name. I'm one of them. And you're asking me to go? Now look at the Lord's response. Love it. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. I'm going to tell you, that is one of the greatest changes of identity you'll ever read. From a Judaistic terrorist to a chosen instrument of God. How could that be? Because God is in the process of cutting down a tall poppy, bringing him to his knees. He's my chosen instrument. He will take my message to Gentiles, to kings, and even to his own people, Israel. I will show him how much, notice verse 16, he must suffer for my name. That will become Saul's M.O. From now on, it's in his DNA. Saul, who will become Paul, will become constant companions with pain and suffering. A man of hardship, a man who was broken, even though he saw this great vision in heaven, given the thorn in the flesh, which never left him and remained a part of his life for the rest of his years. how much suffering he must endure. Why? Because he is by nature proud and arrogant. And the Lord has a way of breaking down those who are like that. I say as I close this brief message, take heart, you who have friends, children, acquaintances, fellow workers who are proud and arrogant, and nothing seems to bring them to an end. Remember Acts chapter 9. God has a way of bringing us into line and then making us never, ever forget it. I could go on, but I want to bring it now to five principles I see in this that apply to where we live today. Let me do that one by one, and hopefully you will remember some of this that we draw from those verses of Acts 9. Number one, when God steps in, it's often unannounced, sudden, and severe. Remember the words. I get that from the way he entered Saul's life. It's often unannounced, sudden, and severe. Saul had no knowledge of this when he awoke that morning, preparing for his trip to Damascus. He had his list of names. He had his documents that gave him the right to arrest. But he had no idea that there would be the living God after him to bring him down. Take heart, all of us who have loved ones in a situation that we cannot change. God, when he steps in, does so unannounced, suddenly, and sometimes he does it severely. Second, when God's crushing blows begin, all pride is removed. All arrogance comes to an end, and humility begins to emerge. One of the signs of early humility is Saul giving someone else his hand. Lead me. Help me. I'll never forget the meal I had with Johnny Erickson Tata. We were at a gathering, and her assistant was called away for a phone call, and she left, and Johnny was left at the table, and they served our meal. And here is Johnny, a quadriplegic, and here I am with my wife and friends, and Johnny looks at me without hesitation and says, Chuck, would you feed me? I think it's one of the most humble statements I've ever heard. Brought tears to my eyes. My response was absolutely. And I literally cut the meat up and pulled the vegetables near and began to feed her bite by bite. Saul gave the man his hand. There was no fight. The fight's over. He didn't even know where he was walking. He's blind. He didn't know where they'd take him. And they left him. For days, pride is removed, arrogance comes to an end, and true humility begins to emerge. And by the way, it's a beautiful thing to behold. An individual who is beginning to be crushed, evidencing humility. Third, when God transforms, suffering plays a major role. Paul is just beginning a life of suffering. Suffering humbles all of us. Being in pain breaks us down. There aren't many arrogant people on the cancer floor of the local hospital. It has a way of breaking you. And coming over you with a reminder that your life is actually temporal and your future is uncertain. With Saul, it was the blindness, and then later, the thorn in the flesh that never left. Remember when he tells us why? To humble me, God gave the thorn in the flesh. When God transforms, suffering plays a major role. Remember, he says, I will show him how much he must suffer. There's a fourth. When God's plan for the future takes shape, humility remains in place. Every mentor that has meant anything to me has been a man of humility. Everyone. And when I got to know them even better, I found out why they were humble. Every one of them would say to me, oh, Chuck, if you only knew what we have been through. It was the suffering they went through. Stop and think. Think of the people we could name who are some of the major Christians that have helped shape our lives. You look deep enough, you'll find brokenness, heartbreak, loss, because they are people who understand suffering. He's my chosen instrument, and I must show him how much he will suffer. Those you've admired are admired because they are not arrogant. They are teachable, humble servants of God. Fifth and finally, when God is finished with his instrument, God gets all the glory. Isn't that great? One day, Saul would pass off the scene, and there would come a generation that would hardly have remembered him, and then another generation who wouldn't have even known of him. God would have done a work, and to this day, when we pick up the letters of the New Testament, one after another, after another, after another, written by this man who had been a terrorist. But because of God's crushing, his whole life was transformed. I love the words of Augustine, who said of Saul's conversion, it was the violent capture of a rebel will. May I say to you who have impossible situations that are making you restless and uneasy, this is hard counsel, but it's necessary. Don't jump in to bring relief. Don't think God needs your help when the bottom drops out of their lives. Your son is sent to jail. Don't quickly bail him out. The tendency on the part of loving and caring parents is to take away the pain. No, no, no. It requires the pain to break them, to bring them into submission. Don't be too quick to explain their actions as if they're really not that bad. Leave it alone. Let God be God. You're there when they call, and you're there to love them and to care for them. But remember, the father of the prodigal never went out on a search for his son. He stayed home. And he waited. And he prayed. And he watched the horizon. Till one day he saw the bent silhouette of his broken boy. And then he ran to him and loved him. And welcomed him back. Repentance is a process that is painful. Usually lengthy. Don't interrupt it. Leave it with God. And after a while, you will see he knows what he's about. If you need an illustration, and I think I'm free to say it, look back on your own life. Look at those very, very, very tough moments when, as my mother used to say, when you came to an end of yourself. She used to say to me, everyone has to come to an end of himself. Today, Acts 9, the story unfolds of a man who's come to an end of Saul and is about to become acquainted with Paul the Apostle. And it took this to bring him to that change. Now, will you bow with me, please? Some of you hearing me today would have to admit there's never been a time in your life when you have bowed your knee, your heart, your life to Jesus. You understand that he died for you. You understand what the cross was about as best as you can understand it. But you've never acknowledged his role in your life. Never humbled yourself before him to say, "Here I am, Lord, unworthy, unjust, unqualified. And I come before you in all of my needs. And I bring this life of sin before you. I trust you to bring forgiveness, a ray of hope, a future that will prove to be transforming. But I know it starts with my coming humbly before you and trusting in you as my Savior. Come today. Trust him now. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us in a way that has been a little unusual. It's sobering to think of your dealing with us in severe ways, but it's helpful as well. Give us hope for those whom we've lost touch with, whom we no longer have a relationship with. May there be a bridge that is built back to you and therefore back with us. We wait on you for that. We commit them to you. My prayer for all of us is that we would do what is right this new year, that we would love mercy, and that we would walk humbly with our God. I pray in the name of the Savior. Amen.
It wasn't until Saul came to the end of himself that God shaped him into an instrument he could use. A convicting lesson on choosing humility over personal pride. You're listening to Insight for Living and the concluding message in Chuck Swindoll's five-part mini-series called God Knows What He's About. If you missed any portion or you want to listen again, you can download the audio file at insightworld.org. If you've been listening to Chuck's teaching for any length of time, you know he's committed to presenting the truth of God's Word, even when it's personally convicting. Today's study is a classic example. Although Paul would become one of the most influential men in the first century, we rarely consider the pain and suffering that shaped his character. Well, providing these daily Bible studies requires tremendous financial resources. And today, we're calling on those who value Chuck's approach to teaching the Scriptures to join us in this mission by becoming a monthly companion. As a monthly companion, your partnership with Insight for Living becomes a simple and routine discipline. Plus, the compounding effect of your regular contributions has a huge impact on those who hear Chuck's teaching. When you give your first gift as a monthly companion today, you're invited to request a special collection of 6 CDs containing 6 listener favorites from last year. We're calling these 6 messages from Chuck our best for his highest. Become a monthly companion right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or online, insight.org/monthly companion. Finally, if you've never contacted Insight for Living before, We'd like to give you the beautiful 2018 wall calendar as our gift to you, just for getting in touch today. For your free copy of the Insight for Living wall calendar, simply call us today. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/2018calendar. This offer is only valid in the United States. Trusted wisdom, practical application, refreshing insight. These three hallmarks have defined Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching ministry. And now you have access to decades of his personal study in the Scriptures, bound into one brand new volume. The Swindoll Study Bible is now on sale at insight.org/study Bible.
My continued hope and prayer is that you will find this Bible helpful in your own study and personal application of the Scriptures. May this tool help you come to realize, as I have over these many years, that God's Word is as timeless as it is true.
Chuck's warm personal style comes across on every page, and his informed, practical insights get straight to the heart of the message God's Word has for you today. With helpful features such as contextual background on each book in the Bible, application points, and people profiles on key biblical figures. There's even a tour of Israel feature. You'll find the Swindoll Study Bible at insight.org/study Bible.
It was in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the prophet wrote this: "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever."
The Swindoll Study Bible in the New Living Translation is available today by going to insight.org/study Bible. Next time, Chuck Swindoll resumes a series we started last year called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. Join us Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Humbles a Proud Heart, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.